depression isn't just feeling sad. It's a biochemical state of learned helplessness that steals everything that makes life worth living. Imagine waking up to discover your joy has been surgically removed, leaving only a hollow shell of existence. That's depression, a clinical case of the fuckits. While most people understand sadness or grief, depression operates like a French press, gradually pressing down until you're completely depleted. The most consistent symptom is anhedonia, an inability to feel pleasure, which distinguishes it from normal emotional responses to life's difficulties. The fundamental problem occurs in neurotransmitter communication between neurons, those specialized nerve cells forming our brain's communication network. These neurons connect across synapses using chemical messengers like dopamine, influencing motivation, serotonin, regulating mood, and norepinephrine, affecting energy. Depression strikes when something disrupts this delicate communication process. Poor neuron matching, inadequate rest periods between firings, or improper reuptake of neurotransmitters. Understanding this biological basis removes blame. Your depression isn't a personal failing, it's your brain chemistry misfiring. This perspective shift can be profoundly liberating for those who've spent years wondering why they can't just snap out of it. Depression emerges from the intersection of genetic predisposition and environmental triggers. Through epigenetics, traumatic experiences can activate depression genes that may pass through generations. Children of depressed parents are 2 to 3 times more likely to develop depression. Environmental factors, trauma, chronic stress, significant losses, activate genetic vulnerabilities. Common triggers include childhood adversity, relationship breakdowns, financial hardship, illness, or workplace stress. This explains why someone might experience their first depressive episode after decades of stability. Research shows about 40% of depression risk is genetic, while 60% stems from environmental factors. This dual-factor understanding explains why effective treatment often requires addressing both biological imbalances and psychological factors. Medication without addressing life circumstances, or therapy without addressing chemical imbalances, frequently leads to incomplete recovery. Modern approaches typically combine medication with therapy, lifestyle changes, and stress management. Depression creeps in gradually, like a sunset. You can't pinpoint when darkness falls. One day you're functioning with effort, the next you're unable to leave bed. This progression follows what's called the depression funnel. As we become overwhelmed, we abandon seemingly non-essential activities, ironically, giving up first the very things that nourish us most: healthy food, movement, social connections, and creative outlets. The funnel narrows as symptoms intensify. The pattern is predictable. You skip your morning walk due to fatigue. Cooking feels overwhelming, so you switch to convenience foods. Soon, you're canceling social plans and avoiding friends. Creative hobbies gather dust. Eventually, you're barely managing work while everything else has fallen away. This narrowing creates a self-reinforcing cycle. The less you engage in nourishing activities, the worse you feel, making it harder to return to them. Recovery often involves deliberately reintroducing these activities, even when they're the last things you feel like doing. Depression falls under mood disorders, with subtypes that even experienced professionals struggle to differentiate. Understanding your specific diagnosis provides crucial clarity about your experience and guides treatment. Dysthymia, persistent depressive disorder, is like wearing gloom-covered glasses, rather than major depression's black quicksand. People with dysthymia maintain external functioning, but aren't truly humaning at a fundamental level. They become experts at zipping on their human skin for obligations while feeling hollow inside. Unlike major depression's acute episodes, dysthymia can persist for years. Major depressive disorder, MDD, requires anhedonia nearly every day for at least 2 weeks, alongside symptoms like crushing fatigue, unexplained pain, concentration problems, feelings of worthlessness, sleep disturbances, and sometimes suicidal thoughts. Bipolar disorder involves cycling between depressive lows and manic highs, periods where the brain enters over-fire mode. Mania signs include racing thoughts, pressured speech, reduced sleep needs without fatigue, impulsivity, and potentially destructive behaviors. Research suggests 20% of unipolar depression cases are actually bipolar disorder. There's no magical healing path for depression, which is both the bad and good news. You get to discover what works best without anyone dictating the right way, though depression will try to convince you seeking help is hopeless. Treatment approaches include allopathic medications, Western prescriptions, which can be life-saving but shouldn't stand alone. Naturopathic treatments like whole food supplements and herbs work as adaptogens that stabilize physiological processes, though quality matters as many lack active ingredients or contain hidden additives. Traditional talk therapy has tremendous healing potential, either independently or supporting other treatments. Research shows therapy combined with medication is far more effective than medication alone, especially for depression with trauma roots. Complementary therapies, including acupuncture, neurofeedback, chiropractic treatment, energy healing, massage, and light therapy, encourage the body's natural healing abilities, with even the Veterans Administration supporting these approaches after seeing improved outcomes. Natural supports, the people who love you unconditionally, are invaluable in recovery. If people offer help, accept it. This takes more strength than rejecting it. While professional help is valuable, recovery largely depends on self-care. Depression may make you doubt your healing abilities, but certain tools can remind you where you still have power. Exercise releases endorphins that block pain and enhance positive feelings. Studies show it can be as effective as therapy for depression. Focus on movement for enjoyment rather than punishment. Find activities you genuinely like, whether swimming, walking, yoga, or boxing. Meditation isn't about eliminating thoughts, but recognizing and releasing them. Depression creates negative mental commentary we rarely notice. Research shows mindfulness meditation decreases depression relapse better than antidepressants alone by lowering stress biomarkers. Simple breathing techniques like the 5-8-9 pattern, inhale for 5, hold for 8, exhale for 9, calm your vagus nerve, reducing stress responses by providing alternative focus while physically calming your nervous system. Depression creates distorted thinking patterns, such as mind reading, personalization, control fallacies, and emotional reasoning. Recognizing these distortions helps break the depression cycle. Depression isn't your fault. You didn't do anything wrong, you're not being punished, and you're not weak. You've experienced a perfect storm of genetics and triggers, similar to diabetes resulting from genetic predisposition and environmental factors. People with depression aren't crazy. They're survivors fighting against brain chemistry that opposes what makes life worth living. Major depression affects 7% of Americans, 16.1 million adults, with another 1.5% suffering from dysthymia and 2.6% from bipolar disorder. Up to 70% of suicides involve depression or bipolar disorder. After one episode, the recurrence rate is 50%. After two, it's 80%, with most experiencing about 5 episodes throughout life. Those who say, "Fuck you, depression, you don't get to win today," are among the bravest people I know. Every day you choose to keep fighting, whether getting out of bed, taking a shower, or making it to work, you're demonstrating incredible courage. Depression tries to convince you nothing matters, but by seeking treatment, implementing self-care strategies, and refusing to give up, you're proving it wrong. Each small victory moves you toward recovery, which is possible despite not always being linear.